Our Lord saw the bad faith of the Pharisees and scribes, and he called them on it. He wasn't about to let it slide. They wanted him to either conform to their own distorted ways of thinking or suffer the consequences. And of course, he stood up in front of them and spoke the truth and did the truth. And ultimately, it cost him, of course, his life. They had bad faith. They were just waiting to jump all over him as soon as he made a mistake, what they thought was a mistake. They weren't open to the truth. They were sitting there in front of the truth, and they were trying to figure out in their own minds how they could trip him up, how they could raise a charge against him to silence him, to send him away. Our Lord knew their thoughts, and so he gave them what they were looking for. Yet it wasn't what they were looking for, because while he cured on the Sabbath, which was what they were hoping to do, they realized that he manifested the power of God. Even so, they still wouldn't believe. He called up the man with the withered hand. He said, "Stand up. Stand up here right in front of everybody. Put out your hand. I ask you," he said to the Pharisees and scribes, "is it lawful to do good, on the Sabbath or evil?" And then he cured the man. He healed the withered hand of the man. And what did they do? They became frenzied and began to ask one another what could be done to Jesus. You know, everything was laid out in front of them. They were given so many graces, and yet they turned their back. They decided to remain in the darkness. Nothing's changed, really. The church is still the instrument of Christ's truth, in spite of the fact that those who are members of the church are very often weak and sometimes cause scandal. And yet the church remains faithful and unswerving in her fidelity to the truth. But people are ready to jump all over her. It's a patriarchal church, just a bunch of old celibate men who are trying to run everybody's lives. A conspiracy, you know, this, it's not just Dan Brown and the likes. There's many people who believe that the church is involved in some kind of conspiracy to suppress the truth. Mother Teresa, the woman before all others that we can remember in our own lifetimes, who practice charity beyond what we can even imagine. Somehow she had no faith and really was just shamming everybody all along. People are ready to jump all over you if you follow Christ and if you believe in what the church teaches. So that's our lot. It's also our dignity, because it is our following of Christ. We're called to follow Christ Jesus along the way of his suffering. Yesterday we heard his words in the gospel, "Unless you are willing to pick up your cross and carry it, you cannot be my disciple." Today in the reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, we hear St. Paul say at the very beginning of this particular reading, "Even now I find my joy in the suffering I endure for you. In my own flesh I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church." Ultimately, what happened to Jesus is that they did find a way to bring a charge against him, and they did ultimately put him to death, but our Lord died for them, and he died to set them free. They wouldn't listen to him. Perhaps they would respond to his grace that he won on the cross. And it's the same for us. We don't do the work of Christ in that primary sense that he alone does, but we all share in his suffering. We can unite our sufferings, especially the sufferings that come our way, because we are sometimes misunderstood for what we believe, sometimes reviled for what we believe. We can offer those sufferings to the Lord for the conversion and sanctification of souls, and of course, in penance for our own sins. So in the end, we always win. In the end, all things work to the good of those who love God. In the end, we can practice charity towards those who hate us or misunderstand us, and thereby be imitating Christ and do good for others, especially those who persecute us, who revile us for the name of Christ. This is what our Lord did. It is our opportunity as well. And in the end, we know that good will come from it, that souls will be saved. Our Lord, in his infinite wisdom, knew exactly what each and every soul needed, and he was willing to suffer for each and every one. May we accept the grace of our vocation as followers of Christ and do the same, and have confidence that everything that happens to us is part of his providence, and every grace that we receive is something that we can offer for the good of those who love us and those who hate us, those who do us good and those who do us evil. And one day, perhaps, we will all rejoice together in heaven for the good things that the Lord has done for us.